things calmed down after that, and the church had smooth sailing for a while. All over the country, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and the church grew. They were permeated with a deep sense of reverence for God. And the Holy Spirit was with them, strengthening them, and they prospered wonderfully. I believe this is the year and the time the Lord wants to prosper the church wonderfully. Everybody say wonderfully. So much of this halfway tepid, whatever. Wonderfully. The King James says that this happened because they were edified by the Holy Spirit. And edify means to be built up. I mean, you know, a lot of churches today are falling down, shriveling up. They are, instead of moving forward, they're stepping backwards. And it's the day, you know, when you need revival? It's when you really need revival. And this is when we need revival.
Yes.
Jesus promised that he would build his church. And the scripture shows us that the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work for him. The only book they had was the Old Testament. They only had the Holy Spirit to teach them. And without the written New Testament like we have, they ministered the gospel to the known world at that time. But Jesus said the Holy Spirit will teach you everything and bring you into all truth. And the Holy Spirit met that need. And he led them. And they knew where to go and when to go. And sometimes the Spirit would say, don't go. Today, we would call that a very spiritual church. And isn't it time that churches could be spiritual without being called fanatical? And here's what the church looked like in Acts 2 after the Holy Spirit was outpoured. And they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as they had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, were breaking bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. In other words, they were happy and nobody was mad at anybody. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We've got a whole lot of plans about how we're going to add to the church, how we're going to have evangelism, how we're going to reach out. But if we get the real Holy Ghost, and if everybody got him, and if everybody let him be free, and if everybody submitted to him, the Lord would add daily to the church such as needed to be saved. It's his job. That's why it wears us out to try to do it ourselves. Why do we not see churches like that today? None of this can happen without the church receiving God's power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The same way he baptized the church in Acts chapter 2. And that's why Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they would be endued with power from on high. That day they received something brand new. It was really something marvelous. Andrew Murray says it this way: the Spirit that was poured out on Pentecost was indeed something new. He came as the Spirit of the glorified Christ, the Spirit of the incarnate, crucified, and exalted Christ. That Spirit couldn't have been sent before. Jesus had to be exalted first. Something wonderful happened. Then Jesus himself sent back this new Spirit. That life as it had been interwoven into human nature in the person of Jesus Christ was now poured back on us. And Peter preached it was fulfillment of what was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that there was going to be prophesying by sons and daughters and dreaming of dreams, and wonderful things were going to happen. He stood up and he began to preach and he said, "This is that which is prophesied by the prophet Joel." And It's like John Kilpatrick said in 1995 when the Holy Spirit just suddenly moved into their church there. He called out to his people, "Folks, this is it. Get in." John Kilpatrick himself lay down for a long time. The Holy Spirit resides on earth in the church and in us. And we as a church understood this, and we allow him to be in charge of everything. This is being led by the Spirit and being surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, in Acts chapter 8, Peter and John encountered some people in Samaria who said that they were leaders. But they asked them whether they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. This needs to be asked of people. Especially people that look like they're hungry and people that look like they're really in love with Jesus. If people ask you or say to you, "I'd like to have what you have," well, say to them, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" We need to tell people about this wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll tell you what has kept that from happening freely is a very strong false doctrine that this was for a time past and that it doesn't happen anymore. Well, tell Young E. Cho that a million people later in his church. Tell Amy Semple McPherson that when she took up the headlines in the Los Angeles Times every day with all of her miracles. Tell some of these people, you don't need that now. Well, maybe they don't. But people that are going to do that, that's what they need. And so he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And so they said that they had not. And then they immediately laid their hands on them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The same thing happened in Acts 19 when Paul passed through Ephesus. When Paul asked if they'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, they answered, "We didn't even know that there is a Holy Spirit." These people, they were the same. They did not know about the Spirit. But you know, that's not that unusual with Christians today. We don't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul prayed for them and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says, spoke in tongues and prophesied. So I want to talk to you today about receiving him. God has done all he's going to do about sending the Holy Spirit to earth. That's why Peter said, "This is that. Now, this is that which is prophesied by the prophet Joel. And it's here now, he's here now for us to receive him. And all we need to do is be told this." You know, you can't hear without a preacher. And when a preacher tells you, then you've heard. And hearing, then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And once you hear. No, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit until someone preaches the truth. You don't receive salvation until someone preaches the truth to you. But thank God that he's provided all these things. And it's up to us to receive him and to put him in charge of our lives and our churches. The word "receive" is so important in John 1:12. "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become." You receive. He gives the power to become. You don't make yourself a Christian. You just like a deep breath. You acquiesce. You say amen. And you step out and believe him. And that power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In Acts chapter 2, 37 through 39. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" In the Greek, this doesn't mean it's too bad they use the word prick here. But what happened, it's really in the Greek, it's like a stake went in their heart. It's like they said, "Ah, what shall we do?" And we need to preach the word and tell the truth to people so that they feel struck in their hearts. And they need to cry out, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." What a promise. "For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit." Now I want to talk to you about this morning about the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I want to make sure that everybody gets this really way down in your spirit before we pray for anyone, because that is what is going to give you the confidence. You see, for all of the things that have been said that are not true and that are confusion about the Holy Spirit, we have to say words and superimpose them on top of the things that you have heard and received before, so that you will know what the real facts are and what the real truth is. Because the enemy, one of the things that he has done is that he has tried to make people fearful. I mean, it's possible somebody didn't even come today because they were afraid about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've known of that. That's not that unusual. You're afraid of something that you don't understand about or you don't know anything about. And that's why you need to be comfortable about it. Now, I just wanted to share this with you. You know, down at Gateway Church, Robert Morris, you know, was raised up by Olin Griffin. Not too long ago, they prayed for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think I shared with you that at first he was kind of moderate about how he brought what he was bringing to people. And then the Lord spoke to him to come out with the whole thing, because the world is lost and dying without it. So he started preaching everything that he had been taught by Pastor Olin. And Pastor Olin had raised up a wonderful church, about 4,000 or so there in Dallas. And when he started preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he said that he had the Holy Spirit, that he spoke in tongues, and that his team members did as well, and 1,000 people left his church that day. Now, that's a very powerful scare tactic of the enemy. Just mention you have it. It didn't matter about the 1,000 who left, because the scripture says they went out from us because they were not of us. They came for something that Pastor Robert was preaching, but they didn't come for this. And this is what Pastor Robert was sent to preach, the whole gospel, because we can't really get the power out there to set people free. The full gospel has got to be released in our nation. And I'm among the people who was called to preach this full gospel. If I would ever backpedal and say, you know, I think people rather come to a different kind of church, then I should leave the ministry. This is what I have to say. Furthermore, this is the truth that sets people free. So I think he was very bold and very courageous when he did that. There's about 35,000 people in about a half a dozen churches there in Dallas under his ministry. Wasn't long before the people came piling back in. Now, not too awfully long ago, maybe a year or so ago, they prayed for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like we're going to do today. And he had done some ministry on the baptism of the Holy Spirit before that. And that Sunday in their 5 churches, 1,000 people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if, see, what I liked about that, you can mince around all you want to and say, well, you know, he's here and some people have this. Or else you can preach it like it is in the Bible, and you can offer it, and you can testify that you have it, and you can do your best to lead people into it and support them as they walk in it, and release an army of people that will go to do battle with the powers of darkness. We don't need another pile of nice church people out there saying some nice thing to people. We need deliverers.
Yes.
And by the way, you should be nice too. It wouldn't hurt you to be nice. After the Holy Spirit was outpoured, Scripture records various occasions in which the Holy Spirit either came on a group of people or hands were laid on the people that wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. About a half a dozen instances that we have in the book of Acts. Now, in every one of those situations, it specifically says that they spoke in tongues. Except one, it's obvious that something supernatural there were. It was evident to them that they had received the Holy Spirit. And another one was when the whole house was shaken. And there was a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit that came on everybody. Over and over again, it will say, they laid their hands on them and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm going to ask you, when you go home today, or certainly by in the morning, will you read carefully 1 Corinthians 14? I ministered once in a very large charismatic full gospel church. At the end of my message, somehow I just felt to ask people, if you haven't not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you come forward, I'll be happy to pray for you. You wouldn't believe the ton of people who came forward. Sitting in this Pentecostal church, what they've been doing? Hey, we're here to be Pentecostal, full gospel people. We're not here to just sit and watch the other people. This is not a show, I want to tell you right now. Nobody here is putting on any show. We're doing our very best to worship Jesus. We want to be a New Testament church. We want to have what they had in the book of Acts that made them that kind of church that I read to you in the beginning of my message. Everybody's talking about, you know, how we want to have this kind of church and that kind of church. We won't have it without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so I want to tell you these things that I think will help you about speaking in tongues. This will answer your questions, I believe. We can all speak in tongues. I like this, that Yongyi Cho said this, and I heard Robert Morris say the same thing. We can all speak in tongues. The Lord has given the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and He said, it's for all of you and for your children, and as many as the Lord shall call, even those that believe on His name, can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, there has come a line of demarcation that some people have decided that's not for today, and I'm going to comment on that in just a moment. Oh, I'm sure glad it's not for yesterday. How I needed it today when I received it. In 1969, I needed the Holy Ghost. And you know what I did when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I was away at a Methodist camp, and a Spirit-filled Methodist preacher prayed for me. And there was about 12 inches of snow on the ground. It was on a mountain retreat. And I went out in the snow, and I rolled, and I made snow angels. And I did all of those wonderful things that happened. You may not do that. We don't have any snow. Everybody doesn't respond the same way. I'm just simply saying that when you receive it, something happens. And it completely changes your life. If we avail ourselves, God has given us the Holy Spirit for His purposes. And I want to share five things with you about tongues I think will really help you. Number one, every believer can have a prayer language. There's a gift of tongues that needs to be interpreted, and there's a grace of tongues that's just given to you to pray unto your God and to sing unto the Lord. And by the way, if I sing a song, if I sing something, if I'm worshiping God, and we're in the worship service here, and Jimmy leads us in some free praise, and I sing a little bit in tongues, I don't expect anybody to come up and interpret it, right? I'm talking about that grace of tongues that is free among us who have the Pentecostal experience. And I want to tell you also why it's so important that you have this gift working in you. You know, I've been to a lot of places. I've ministered in a lot of churches. I've seen a lot of things. I've been where when they drive me to the meetings, they're talking about my newest manicure and my some latest ball game and everything in the world. But I remember once I was ministering in the Bahamas. From the time that we got in the van to go, they started Some of them started speaking in tongues, and they started praising the Lord, and they started doing some free praise, and they prayed, and they prayed for me. And hey, they didn't waste time talking about the same things that always happened day after day. They got in touch with the Holy Ghost for me and for that meeting, because they were walking and living in the Spirit. That's how that church prospered. There's a grace of tongues with which we can pray and worship. There's a gift of tongues. When the Scripture clearly says, if someone speaks in an unknown tongue, that it should be, if he stands up in the assembly and speaks in that, then it should be interpreted. So that we don't just have people standing up, interrupting the service, speaking in tongues. Well, we're glad they speak in tongues, because we all speak in tongues. You understand, Paul is, it's really a wonderful chapter, because Paul is a master here. He's speaking order along with the exhortation for freedom. What good is it to have order if you're not free? You just, rigor mortis could sit any time. You got to be free, but to be free doesn't mean to be wild. Unless there's a given day that the Lord tells everybody to be wild, in which case some of us will have discerning of spirit and we'll say, this is of the Lord, go ahead, whatever. However, for the most part, the Lord has given some parameters that's spoken through Paul so that we can get the benefit. The Lord hasn't just called us to church to have the free for all. He's called us to meet with God, right, and have our needs met and help each other get their needs met. That's why we have this wonderful gift of tongues, is all a part of it. The second thing is, Paul said he was thankful he spoke in tongues more than all of them. Also that he prayed with the Spirit and he prayed with the understanding. Now, if Paul spoke in tongues, is it good enough for you? We are far out sometimes. We are afraid of the very things that will save us. Well, you know, how could it do any good? You don't even know what you're saying. I'm glad you asked that. Number three says, tongues are for our benefit, to edify or build us up. It's not for other people. It's for yourself, to build you up. In Jude 20, it says, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And church, I always say this. Well, you know, I came to the prayer meeting and I just felt so dead, so I just sat there. Now, why did you do that? If you speak in tongues, all you had to do was start speaking to the Lord in your language, in your prayer language. Why didn't you do that? We've got this thing about silence. There's a song, isn't there? Silence is golden. Well, there's only 30 minutes of it recorded in heaven. And other than that, we got hallelujah and praising and worshiping God everywhere. Get used to it. It's because for so long we were so quiet in church about everything that we did. We wanted to be holy, but we were God's secret sky agents. So we didn't want to say too much. We didn't want to disturb anybody or anything. If anybody dropped their hymnal, everybody turned and say, what was that? You know, because we were... Some people are God's chosen frozen. And it takes them a while to warm up. And it's so good when you get the Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit on fire. It also provides a way that we speak directly to God without the interference of our intellect. Now, answering that question you asked a while ago, what good is it if I can't understand it? Because we worship at the shrine of our intellect. Well, listen, what you know and think is not the greatest thing that ever happened. God's got something better than that. It's called the Holy Ghost. He's got something to greatly enhance your prayers with the understanding. It's called praying in the Spirit. So Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. Now, when I pray with the Spirit, I do not understand unless the Lord gives me the interpretation. I don't understand what I'm saying. He says, but he said, my mind remains unfruitful. Isn't that amazing? How good to get your mind to be quiet for a minute or two. I speak in tongues and my mind remains unfruitful. I like that a lot. So mind, take a break. My spirit is going to connect directly. I didn't make this up. This is in your Bible. It's been there all the time. It's been there through all the years that people have rejected it. It remains. It's a wonder somebody hadn't cut it out before we ever got to see it. You know, Luther cut the book of James out of his Bible, didn't witness with his spirit. Too much works, you understand. You got to have faith and works. Come on now, let's let the word of God be his word. When I pray in tongues, my mind is unfruitful. He speaks in tongues. He does not speak to man, but to God. And it says, he's not speaking to man, he's speaking to God. He speaks mysteries. Wow. When you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you pray mysteries. In other words, your spirit man is being built up and he's getting a download from heaven. Come on, this is real. Some of you say that you want to be closer to God, you want to be more spiritual, this and that. Listen to what I'm saying today. And take heed to it. It's by the power of the Holy Ghost. And there's a gift of tongues, which is to be interpreted, which is like prophecy in another form. And so at times you might hear someone give a message in tongues and someone interpret that. And at times, sometimes you might hear someone speak a word of prophecy. Paul says it's basically the same thing. But Paul says that we should covet the gifts of the Spirit, but rather that we may prophesy. Isn't that interesting? He said, you know, the scripture says that prophesying edifies the church. In the Old Testament said they built by the prophesying of the prophets. We need prophecy in the church.
Yes.
Now, we don't need little, we used to call them kitchen prophecies. We don't need little words to this and words to that, just spoken by anybody, by everybody. I mean, that's not necessarily going to build the church. What will build the church is the word that comes in the sanctuary, in the gathering, where the word is brought. It needs to be brought by a pastor, whoever's in charge of the service, that you want to bring this prophetic word. Now, people who've been prophesying here a long time, they don't need to do that because we know that they're qualified as prophetic people and so forth. Now, Paul tells you, all of these things Paul has for us to do is keep order in the church. And then the scripture says, this is all in 1 Corinthians 14. So if you prophesy, then let the others judge. That's the others, the other prophets, the other who prophesy. Let them judge the word. And he said, you can prophesy by turns. Don't everybody try to do it all at one time. They must have been some kind of people that you had to hold back a lot by the things he says to them. You know, don't everybody jump in there and try to prophesy at the same time. But you see, when we receive these prophetic words, have you ever noticed how the level of the meeting comes up? When there's a real prophetic word that comes forth, or when we've had prophets to come among us, like Kent Christmas, he's a very prophetic person when he comes to our June conference to minister. He will have prophetic words that will bring the level up and that will also give direction and inspiration, the things that we need. We need prophecy. This is why that, you know, people say, I mean, some denominations may say that they don't believe in prophets in this day. Well, Billy Graham was one anyway. His denomination, I think a lot of the people say they don't believe that's for this day. Well, he was anyway. And here's the thing. If someone has started a real work of God where people are really born again, if they really dug that out of the ground, that person has an apostolic calling, whether he knows it or not. And it may not fit his doctrine, but it fits God's plan. So God just goes ahead and does it anyway, because he said, this is what I'm going to do all the time. I'm going to have some people that are going to do this. I predict that the days are ahead that people are going to get so hungry. You know, right now, churches are meeting together trying to deal with this opioid crisis. Right here in our area, people are finally coming together around. I think that they're going to start drawing on the people that have the power of the Holy Spirit. Even while they meet together, we're going to see a release of the power so that we can see people begin to be set free from these things. So, now, this scripture also says in verse 39, I just can't believe, there's 40 verses in 1 Corinthians 14. I read it again before I came to church this morning. I can't believe how powerful this, I mean, it tells us absolutely how to run the church that is full of the Holy Ghost. It's tremendous. But it says this amazing thing here. It says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. I was in a church one time. I went to hear a musical presentation. Someone wanted me to go. And it was a denominational church. And I don't know why the pastor chose that particular time to stand up and say, now, we just want you to know that we don't speak in tongues here. And someone came to me the other night and was wanting to speak in tongues and something about it. I forget just exactly what he said. And I just want you to know that we don't do that here. And I just lifted my hand from writing a check out to that church for the offering. And I said, the Lord says to bless you, and I'm going to put this check in there anyway, but you're hurting the cause of Christ. Amen. Because the scripture says, forbid not. How can you forbid people to do what the Holy Ghost came to this earth? It's the down toward the end. Well, I've got it here. 39. Forbid not to speak in tongues. There's a false teaching that these gifts are not for today, including tongues, because we don't need them anymore. Now, this is the amazing part. Now, let me read the scripture that they teach that from. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now the Lord loves me so much that back in the 70s, he had me go sit in Catherine Kuhlman meetings. Catherine Kuhlman even prayed for me. The Holy Ghost even took the back of his hand and put it right there in my knees and had me lying on the floor. It was a hard wood floor. And there were these lights up in the ceiling. You know, I was just on a stage somewhere. This is a fact. And I'm lying there and I can partly see those lights on a hardwood floor. And I'm saying to myself, oh, what a lovely soft thing I'm lying on. And are these the stars of heaven? And just lights, ordinary lights. But man, I had been hit by some power of the Holy Ghost. Kerbam! Now, I never was one of those people that said, I'm going to resist to see if it's real. Okay, you'd waste your time seeing if Catherine Kuhlman's real if you want to. I've got other fish to fry. And when you can get tons of people healed, then talk to me about who's real and who isn't. Come on, what is it with us? We are resistant. Scripture says you do always resist the Holy Ghost. And I don't want to be in that group. The scripture says don't grieve him. Don't grieve and don't quench him. Now that's the thing about forbidding to speak in tongues or to give him any liberty at all. Catherine Kuhlman taught in one of those meetings what this means. She said, I'm so sorry. It's been taught in that other funny way. She said, well, here's what it simply means. When the perfect one has come, when that which is perfect has come, when the perfect one has come, Jesus. When Jesus comes, you won't need the gifts of the Spirit anymore. They're here to operate in so that we can bring the power of the Holy Spirit into building the church and doing the work that Jesus wants to be done of deliverance. Well, you know what? Shall we then, so they say that The gifts are not needed any longer after we got the word in print. Isn't that an amazing thing to say? You know, as much as I love the Word of God, the Trinity is not the Father, Son, and Holy Bible. Now, you need to know this. I'm serious. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Word of God backs up everything that the Holy Spirit says. And this is how that you can compare things and know if you've really heard from the Holy Spirit and things are really God. And one gift is the discerning of spirits. So these people don't need the discerning of spirits anymore. These people who say that the gifts are not there anymore. And so they don't have the discerning of spirits. And so that's why they teach that. They don't understand that it's a wrong spirit that wants to take people away from this truth. Or shall we tell Catherine Kuhlman, Yongyi Cho, Smith Wigglesworth, Heidi Baker, that everything has been accomplished and they don't need the Holy Spirit? What do we tell Heidi Baker? You don't need to speak in tongues, Heidi. You know, when she prophesied to us here, I think she's prophesied to us 2 or 3 times. And she'll be often like speaking in tongues, and right out of that will come a prophecy. So I'm going to turn to her and say, you need the tongues, Heidi. You need to stir your spirit man so you can bring prophecies here in this church. How foolish to say that we don't need these things. So I'm so glad that you listened good today because you've helped me move along. That's exactly what I wanted to happen. These gifts have empowered them to do astounding ministries. Do we not need healing anymore? You know, one of the gifts of spirit is the gift of healing. The doctors that we have in this church are so thankful that there is the gift of healing and that Jesus heals. Thank God for all the doctors and nurses do for us, and thank God for the healing gift of the Holy Ghost, which is what we're all after. If we're told to build by the prophesying of the prophets, shall we tell them that we've decided we're going to do it on our own now because we don't need the Holy Spirit anymore because the Bible has been written? We don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't need the gifts of the Spirit. And I think that's how it's taught. Because now we have the Bible. Now, I bless everybody of every denomination to do everything. And I have helped people and served with them in many denominations. And I believe it is tremendous what these people have done. And I believe they have tremendous leaders in there that really, really love God. But I just want to clarify this. The true doctrine is the gifts of the Spirit are for today. And don't let anybody tell you any different. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Don't hold off. Now we're going to be praying now for those, anyone who you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you would like to. Or perhaps you feel you've been prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you haven't yet spoken in tongues and you would like to. You would like to come through speaking in tongues. Then we're believing the Lord together with you today that you're going to have the full package of everything that the Lord wants you to have. And we're looking to the Holy Spirit today. I want to say this to you, that if we could be just separated, divorced from ideas about how we do things in church and how church should be, it would help us tremendously. What if you and I were just sitting out in a field today under a banyan tree in Africa somewhere, and we didn't have to worry about how somebody did church somewhere or how somebody expects us to do church? By the way, I don't see anybody here today. It looks like an unusual visitor that's going to care about anything you do. So don't you worry about it. When I was in Germany once, they gave me Sunday off. I was ministering in a Bible institute, and they gave me Sunday off. And I got a bus and went to Salzburg, Austria, to church. I mean, I went to church, but I didn't go to a usual church. I went to an original church in the catacombs of the early believers. And I heard the church bells ringing there that day. My heart was so melted in me that the church is always the church in every nation, in every situation, in every decade, in every century. The Holy Ghost remains. His power remains. His truth remains. He's here to lead us, to guide us, to anoint us, to encourage us, to teach us. And as I went into where they had their assembly that came together, they took me into an anteroom first. And they said, this is the room where unbelievers are invited to sit. Oh, that's not seeker friendly. And this is where the believers sat, the ones who take the communion. And I thought, all the way from that church in the catacombs to all the big rock and roll churches we have today, with the smoke and all the jazz and all the stuff. Oh, all we need is the Holy Spirit. We don't need any of these things that we brought in to say, this is what we have to have. I read an article entitled, No, Your Keyboard Is Not the Holy Spirit. It's not any of those things. The Holy Spirit is a person. He wants to come into you and live in your life, live through you. He wants to take charge of your life. He wants to empower you. He wants to encourage you. He's the comforter. He wants you to give you the wonderful gift of tongues, that so that you can just freely speak forth as the Spirit gives utterance. And then when they received in the book of Acts, it was as the apostles laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Thank God that that truth remains. I want to invite you to stand in His presence for just a moment. No one being afraid or no one holding back for any carnal reasons or any pride reasons or whatever. If there are people here this morning that have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you would like to be prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit today, I'm going to invite you to come and I'm going to invite you to kneel at the either side of the altar here, and someone will pray for you and minister to you. The only qualification you need, the scripture says, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be to a place where you're doing things better than you used to. You just have to be willing to be surrendered to His will and to be hungry and desirous of the Holy Spirit. I'm believing God with you today that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart if you're among those that needs to come today. So if 1,000 people were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Dallas on that day, I know that there must be people this morning who haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're from a church that didn't even teach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what I have taught you today, and I taught you last Sunday. So I want to invite you to step forward today, and we're going to pray for you. And while we're praying for you, I'm going to ask the congregation to be praying for you as well, that the Holy Spirit will move. We believe the Holy Spirit's going to move today. Bow your hearts in His presence for just a moment. Those of you today that have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, could I see your hands? You'd like to receive today? I'm going to ask you Please just step forward. I see a hand over here. Just go ahead. You step forward and others will feel free to step forward with you. That's right. Just come on up. I know you because we've talked together. Why don't you just come right over here beside me for right now? Now I want some others to come. I want you to just feel free to come. We don't try to prove anything here. We don't put on any shows here. We just pray for people and the Holy Spirit does what He does. The only expectation I have is that the Holy Spirit Himself will do His work today. Come, brother. Who else? We're all friends. We're all brothers and sisters here. And I just want you to know that you are so free to come and receive the Holy Spirit. You know, the devil's a liar. He wants to keep you from the very best thing that could ever happen to you. While our hearts still have our hearts bowed in His presence. Is there anyone here this morning, you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ? You've never given your heart to Jesus. You have to do that first, of course. And you'd like to say this morning, I want to do that. I want to surrender. I want to yield to Him and make Him Lord of my life. Anyone wants to give your heart to Jesus, if you just raise your hand today, I'll pray for you. And the Scripture says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Would you lift your hand this morning if you need to be born again so that you can be a part of what we are doing this morning? What a wonderful Savior. Or maybe you've been backslidden and you need to come back to the Lord. You truly have to have your heart yielded to Him. And so you need to come back to the Lord first with your whole heart. And the Scripture says, He will heal your backsliding. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. The Scripture said when the apostles laid hands on them, then they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to, if you want to receive, I want you to simply step forward along with these who have already come today. And I personally am going to lay my hands on you. But then I'm going to ask people that I have trained myself, who minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit the same way I do, to pray for you, that you be released to come forth in tongues. And if by some chance you shouldn't come forth speaking in tongues today, that's all right. You just keep believing God. You've had hands laid on you, and you have received, and it's soon to come. We just walk in faith here. We don't walk in disappointment. We walk in faith of what God is getting ready to do. Is there anyone else now that wants to come and join these before we pray for them today? This is your opportunity. It's your opportunity to receive what Jesus wants you to have. Don't do without this wonderful thing that you need. Don't do without it. Don't be without it. Don't be without it. Could I have just about three or four members of our ministry team come over here, a couple of you over here and a couple, three of you over there, so that you can pray with these. Wonderful. It's a wonderful reality, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Tell me your name again. Chris. Chris, could you kneel here because I can get to you. Can you kneel okay? This is Chris. You know, I know Chris. I had a conversation with her. And her mother's been coming to church for a pretty good while. But you know, there comes a time for a change. There comes a time when a person steps out of one realm into another, when they get real hungry for the Holy Ghost. And this is what's happened to Chris. And I'm believing that the Holy Spirit sees her heart today. She has given her heart to Jesus and she's surrendered to them. Receive you the Holy Ghost. For the glory of God, be filled to overflowing. Be baptized. Let the river flow. From out of our inmost being, from out of our inmost being.
He's all over you. He's filling you.
Go ahead.
You speak.
Others. I think I've already prayed for him before. Thank you, Jesus. Others can come. Others can come. Others can come.
It's beautiful. It's the most beautiful
go ahead. Go ahead. That's the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. That's right. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Keep on speaking now. Keep on. That's right. Oh, Holy Spirit, we love you for what you're doing. We love you. Stay with her, Karen. She hadn't received. Come here. Her name? Nicole. I'm sorry. Nicole. Nicole, let me see. Something wonderful is getting ready to happen to you. The Holy Spirit's going to fill you to overflowing. And we're going to believe God with you today. Amen? Amen. In Jesus' name, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Be filled full to overflowing. Let His mighty power pour out through you. Speak in Jesus' name. In Jesus. That's right. Speak. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, speak it louder. Come on. Kneel, kneel. Speak it louder. Go ahead. Just encourage her. Hey, hey, hey. Oh. Oh, we thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, I love you. Sing, church. Sing, church. Oh, mighty God. By your presence, Lord. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Kura baby, 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 baby. Shab no little in a man. Kirin little in a diddy and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Have her lift your hands up. And it's sure baba ribe de 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 yonda. Ribe de ne 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 manda. Ah, regain in any masanda. Thank you, Jesus. Now tell you love him. Tell I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you. Now speak in tongues again. Come on. Shiba na 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 na. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. By your presence. Come on, let's worship him. He's doing such wonderful things. Wonderful Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. This place and fill the atmosphere. Carol, can I get through here? I just need to get through here. No, I need to get this in. But if you're tired, you know.